Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. A bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny ran out of Swisher Sweet Leaf to roll up her thumbs in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do be all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, with a mess is town to town, and my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should be shake out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell, a.k.a. Uncle Futrelli, Femrel, there's many names, along with Mafia this evening on the bench. So here's the deal. The Heat in control, relatively speaking, 54-46. Robinson at the line. He's only got two in the game, but his buddy Hero's been going off for Miami. It is a nine-point Heat lead with 9:20 and rolling in the third in the Eastern Conference Final. Now, here's the deal. The teams have been very off, sluggish, rusty, whatever you want to call it. It's simple. They didn't play for 3 days, and they look like it. They look like they've been going through the motions. They've been slow, sloppy, walking around. There's no real hustle. I haven't seen it. I don't know if Mavi has seen it. I haven't seen it. I think they've looked really ugly. And then, you know, it is what it is. Miami's making some shots here, and they opened up like their biggest lead was eight. Now they got it up to nine. So, and then you get a Dragic three. Now it's 58-46. So they got it up to 12 now, and they're basically kicking the Celtics' ass. And in the hockey game, it's all Lightning. 5-1 going to the third. And Stamkos played and had a goal, but then stopped playing. So I guess the core muscle acted up again.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams. And I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. It's a 7-point Heat lead and a timeout, 6:41 left in the third. I just want to show you, the Celtics are shooting 40%, 25% from downtown. Meanwhile, the Heat are shooting even worse. How is that possible? 37% from the floor, 21% from downtown. I think what you'll see is that Mafia said it to me, is the turnovers, right? Like, if you look at what's going on here, it's 12 turnovers for the Celtics and 7 for the Heat, right? And then as far as free throws, 13 out of 13 for the Heat, 100% from the line. And then 7 out of 10 for Boston. I mean, explain to me, I guess it's, you know, how are they up? How are they up 12? How are they up 8? How are they up 9 and 12? And they're shooting 37%. They're shooting 5 of 23 from downtown, 21%. That's terrible. They're shooting terrible, but yet they're winning. And it's not that many turnovers. It really is kind of, when you look at it, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I guess 12 turnovers is the difference. They must have scored off every one of them, because they're not shooting as well as Boston. Meanwhile, I think that the thing for me with Boston is that I can't even believe it, but I think at the half, Tatum had 0. And then now he's got 3 points. He hit a 3. So he's 1 of 8 from the field. What has happened to Jason Tatum tonight? Can anybody explain that to me? I mean, honestly, Walker's got 14, Brown's got 10, Smart's got 7, but I mean, Smart's 2 of 9, Brown's 4 of 8, Walker's 5 of 11, Tice actually is 3 of 3, he's got 6 points, 7 rebounds. I mean, bottom line is, nobody's doing anything. Hayward's got 5, Williams 4, Pharrellemaker 4. Really, nobody's doing anything. They got 2 guys in double figures. Maybe that's why they're losing. You know, you cannot win with Jason Tatum shooting 1 of 8 and 3 points. First of all, what is the guy average? I mean, it truly is unbelievable, because, you know, I don't know about, well, I know in this game he's got 3 points, 7 rebounds, 3 dimes, but in the, you know, for the season, right? He's 23 a game, 7 boards, 3 dimes. Now, I know that's not playoffs, but his postseason numbers, 25 a game, 25 points a game, right? And then in his last 10 games, he's averaged 27. In his games against Miami, 21. The guy has 3 points. You want to know why they're losing? Jason Tatum is in Never Never Land. What happened to him tonight, Mafia? Is he just like, explain to me how you have 3 days off and then you're down 2-1 in the series and you don't show up for game 4 and you're the star player on the team? Explain that to me.
I know exactly why they're not winning. What's wrong with him too? Is 5 of 8. And that's not his shooting percentage. That's where his shots have been. 5 of his 8 shots, now 6 of 9 have been from behind the arc. He's a guy that, you know, when you start driving, yeah, you can shoot those threes. When you have him, absolutely shoot him. He can be lethal from out there. We've seen that even in this series and in previous series. But the problem is, when you're just focusing on the three-pointer and you're not driving, you're not cutting in there and kicking out and then catching them in, you know, transition where they have to go double you in the lane, and all of a sudden that leaves someone else open when you swing the ball a couple times for an open three or for a nice little drive and a mid-range jump shot, then that takes away from the whole offense, not just your offense, but the whole team's offense, and that's what's happening right now.
Like, I mean, is it not crazy that he's playing that bad? He's 2 of 6 from downtown. He's 2 of 9 in the game. Now, he may have just, I don't know if he just hit a shot. So he's got 6 now. So he finally hit one. And they're climbing back. They're down 6 with 5.5 to go in the third. This guy has got to get cooking. He's got to light it up. I mean, he's now that he's stroked a couple, he needs to start going for it. They can't win the game without that guy putting up 20 plus. He's got to score because they're so used to his game being at that level that when it's not, they look like naked at the altar. I mean, they really do. They just don't look like the same team. And how about Hayward? He's like 17 a game. He's got 5. He looks like that game the other night. But you cannot explain that away from me that what? So he played the other night, played 30 minutes. He had a great game. He lit it up. He broke the zone. He was the difference in game 3. And then you're telling me that he was so gassed from that game. Remember after the game, he said he was tired. And what was the biggest thing you took away from playing tonight? He said, I was tired. Because he played 30 minutes and he had had the bad ankle and everything else. He had been out for a while. Was he out a month? Or, you know, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks? So then he came back and he played 30 minutes in his first game, which was probably too much for Stevens to let him play. But he said afterwards that he was tired. And now he comes out tonight and he does nothing. What is he, tired again? Did his body get so ravaged by that game that he can't perform? You know, I mean, when did they play? Saturday? So he was off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then all day Wednesday. It's like 4 days. Now he's like holding his ribs after a play. I'm watching him in the paint. But you can't even like make this stuff up. Is it not, bottom line, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all day Wednesday? I mean, what did he do today? Shoot around? Don't tell me he got tired at the shoot around. But when you have all day Wednesday to get ready, that's like literally 3.5 days. Is it not, Mafia, that the guy had off? And then he comes out tonight and he looks like he's bent over right now grabbing his shorts. He looks like he just got done running the 3-minute mile. I mean, why is that guy not playing hard tonight? Explain it to me.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, obviously, like you said, it'd be one thing if it was back to back or, you know, one day off in between like it should have been. But then they tried to avoid Monday Night Football and then they won the Lakers to catch up. So with all those days off, it should have been good enough to rest. You know, and obviously you're not going to be peak physical form and just bounce back right away and be nothing. But you shouldn't be this gassed right away. He hasn't played that many minutes, only 15. He's played half of what he did in that last game so far. And to be this gassed already is kind of silly. And one thing that I don't like either is I feel like Stevens is trying to outthink Spoelstra too much. I feel like he's trying to make adjustments before Spoelstra even makes them, because obviously last game they won. And now the Heat are going to, you know, figure out what they got to do to kind of counteract that. But he changed his lineup for today. I mean, you Kanter played a couple, you know, 6 minutes last game. Williams played none. Now all of a sudden this game, Williams played 8, Kanter's played none. It's like, why are you changing what worked in the last game before it doesn't work? Why are you making adjustments before they adjust to you? Stick with what you had and then change when they start getting up on you or when things go wrong. Don't change it before the game even starts.
Jimmy Butler just hit a gigantic 3, and now it's an 8-point lead again. And he is not a 3-point shooter. He's now 1 of 2 from 3. He's got 18 points. Adebayo's got 15. Dragan Dragic, 13. And Hero, 15. Hero is 1 of 3 from downtown. Dragic, 2 of 5 from downtown. Crowder's got a 3. And now Butler's got a 3. And it's a 5-point lead after, I think Hayward must have just hit a 3 because he's got 8 now. And it was his second 3. So maybe you're going to see Hayward and Crowder start, you know, going for it here. Like, it's like, hello, it's game 4. You lose this game, you're roasted. Hayward just hit a turnaround in the paint, basically from the free throw line. So he's hit 5 straight points, and it's a 3-point game. Now we got something brewing here. I thought all day long that it would be a really close game. I really did. I middled it. I went for it. It was 3.5. I thought that I really did. I thought the Celtics would win and the Heat would cover 3.5. And now it's looking really good for the Heat in terms of covering the 3.5. I know that much. But I still am not buying yet that the Celtics are going to win this game. They got to play harder. They got to get Tatum and Hayward going for sure, right? and the hockey game's over. And I think that Stanley Cup final is over.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So Dickinson scored for the Stars, and it's 5-2. There's 8 minutes left in the game. He's got both goals. He has a shorthanded goal at 11:19 of the first, and then he's got a goal at 6:49 of the third. It's still 5-2 Tampa. You got Kucherov early, 5.5 into the game. Stamkos 2 minutes later. Then it was 2-1 in the Dickinson shorty, and then Hedman at the start of the second. 54 seconds in, it was 3-1. Then Braden Point from Kucherov and Hedman made it 4-1 at 12:02. Then 18:55 near the end of the second. Palat is 10th of the playoffs. How about that? You got Hedman is 10th, Point is 11th, Palat is 10th. And then you get the Dickinson goal, 5-2 Lightning. And they're going to, if they, obviously, 8 minutes, finish this game off, they go up 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And then I think they were telling me today they play Friday and Saturday back to back. So we'll see what happens there. I have a feeling, you know, every series they played was like 4-1, 4-1, and 4-2 in terms of how they got to the final. The only team that took them to six was the Islanders. They won the others in five. So I wouldn't be surprised they do this in five. The way they dominated tonight, they took Hudobin and wrung him out. And hung him out on the back line to dry off in the wind, like the clothing. So, I mean, I think Tampa's just skating circles around the Dallas Stars. That's all there is to it. But anyway, today we started running this clip on the TV side, and obviously you may have just heard it on the radio side, of a guy calling the show or calling the network from Olympia, Washington. And he was out on his sailboat after the Seahawk game the other night. What was it, Sunday night? Something like that, right? I don't even know. But he was listening to the radio. I don't even know when it was. But so what happened was he was listening to the Seahawk game on a radio Sunday. And then when the game was over, he flipped it to AM, right? And then Monday night, when I came on the air, he heard me on the radio in out on the water up in Washington, whatever. And he's in Olympia, Washington. The point being, the station, Mightier 1090, is in San Diego. The stick, the tower, is in Tijuana, Mexico. And, you know, you've heard me tell the story a million times that this is the best signal in the history of radio. I mean, I was on this station back in the day, and I'm thrilled to be back on it now. My good friends, Scott Kaplan, running it. Mafia, what are you saying to me? Nothing, apparently. Anyway, you want to play it? Go ahead. I can't hear you. So
from Olympia, Washington. I was in the Seahawks game on my sailboat. When you switch over to the AM, it goes to 1090. All the way in Olympia, I now get L.A. reception here for well. Kind of amazing.
So the guy left it on. He picked me up the next day, and now he's able to hear the show in Olympia, Washington. So you have to understand, that is so far from San Diego. You have no idea where, I mean, we put a picture up on the TV today of how far it is from San Diego. How much? 1,200 miles. 1,200 miles, the signal goes. But how about this? I'm telling you, that's nothing. That's the record right now for this show. But I threw out the gauntlet. I said, look, I am certain that it goes all the way to Whistler and Banff in British Columbia, in Canada. It goes all the way to the Canadian Rockies. I've told the story that Hacksaw used to say, from Baja to the Canadian Rockies, I want to talk sports with you. And then it really kicks ass and takes names. This signal goes so far, I've said it goes to heaven and hell. You can hear it all over the place. You can hear it in Vegas. You can hear it anywhere in the West Coast. And at nighttime when I'm on, are you kidding me? It absolutely shreds. And then it's funny because I just have to be honest. There's a lot of great radio stations out there in the country that have really strong booming signals and everything. And none of them, not one of them can hold a candle to this thing. I'm telling you, there's great stations and they are really good and they are really strong. And 1090 beats their ass. I mean, just runs circles around them. Even the best, the biggest and best, all the best, line them up. And you know what it is? 1090 shoots them down like a cowboy in a Wild West in a bar, like saloon gunshot, like fight. One of those like gunfights where they draw the guns and they take 50 paces and then they draw like Clint Eastwood and they're just knocking them down 100, 200, 300 and shooting the bottles off at a bar. Splatter, splatter, splatter. That's what 1090 does to every signal everywhere. Everywhere. It just is number one, bar none. Boom. Concert over, lights out, fat lady singing, go home, go to bed. You lose. So I'm challenging anyone that's out there that's in Canada or wherever, Vancouver, Whistler, Banff, anywhere you are, the furthest point. If you can turn on that 1090 AM radio and get that station and hear me on the radio live at night, all the way from Tijuana, Mexico, I mean to tell you, that is just kick ass. And what I want you to do is to go on. How do I do it, Mafia? Go on sportsgridradio.com. Somehow, some way, there's a thing on there to contact them about. I think about whatever. I don't even know. I looked at it today just for, because I was like, remember today I was on TV. I go, I don't know how to contact them. And so I looked and I was like, there's some kind of form you can like contact them. And I think leave like a 4-bit like audio real quick or something like that. Mafia, maybe, you know, Mafia, a better way to leave a voicemail, right? Like the guy left a voicemail. How the hell does he know the number? I don't even know the number.
There's a number on the Mighty 1090 site where you can contact them.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yes.
And then maybe they sent it to us. I don't know. Maybe that's how they got it. All I know is we need to figure out a way for people to call it and leave messages, because that was a great message from the guy from Olympia, Washington. And I would love to have people call in and say, I'm in, wherever. I'm in Vancouver. I'm in Banff. I'm in Whistler. I'm in wherever. I'm in, Wyoming. I'm in North Dakota. I'm in, Idaho. I'm in Pocatello. I'm in Big Sky Country. I'm in hell. I'm in heaven. Pharrell, I can hear you in heaven. I'm up here drinking shots with your mom. Your dad still doesn't drink. He's soft. So, I thought that was pretty cool. And so we're stoked to be on there. And it's great that fans are hearing it everywhere. Most people that I know in life, they stick to their guns when it comes to their radio preferences, right? Most of the people I've ever known, just leave it on the station that they listen to. And they never change. They just, people do not change when it comes to their styles and preferences. They, like, I know a guy that used to, like, my father-in-law, he, God rest his soul, he was a champion, Billy O. He used to drink, I mean, massive amounts of booze with me and watch sports. And the guy would just throw him down. Mafia knows it's true. But the guy would, he would sit there and drink a whole bottle of scotch with me, like, in one sitting, no questions asked. But he would, he would never change the station from WABC in New York. He would listen to Don Imus, and he would never change it. If you went near the radio, he'd have you shot. Like, you weren't allowed to change the station ever. No, no touching his radio ever. And then up in his office, he would listen to Pharrell on, you know, pretty much on everything in New York. He'd listen to me on NEW, and he'd listen to me on Howard 101, and he listened to me on CBS Sports Radio, and then he died, so that sucked. But people don't change the stations, and so what's cool about that guy in Olympia was he was listening to the Seahawks on their station, and he flipped it over and he listened to 1090. And I used to be on, believe it or not, in Seattle Mafia, I think it was 1030. Remember, I was on 1030 a.m. or something like that. And so he must have fiddled around with it. Boom, he heard me. And then now he's locked in. Most people don't change the channel and go looking for shows and go looking for what's on the other stations. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. People don't. People don't do it. They just listen to the station that they listen to. If they listen to a rock station, they listen to that station every day of their life. They never change it. I'm kind of the same way, a creature of habit. Like I told you, I listened to Kenny Chesney or whatever, that No Shoes Radio. I listened to it on Sirius. I haven't changed the channel in like 3 years in my car. I used to listen to all of it. Octane. I used to listen to, you know, Boneyard. I used to listen to whatever it's called, Turbo and all these other rock stations. But they play the same songs all the time. So I wanted to kill myself. So I switched to Kenny, and I never changed it. I just think it's a really cool channel. It's mellow, keeps me mellow when I'm driving. Because of the heavy metal, I think I actually become violent. I become angry, and I'm mean and nasty. Mafia knows it's true. I'm crazy driving. So now I'm mellow. Like now I'm like on heroin, listening to all this like tiki bar music and country music and singing songs about having a beer just because. Get a beer just because, buy a truck, buy a boat, have a beer just because. But find Pharrell on the radio. All right, so Pharrell on the bench here. I know that there's a lot going on tonight in Louisville because of the lack of justice for the Breonna Taylor murder. And the cops got off, basically. Bottom line is, the one guy that got indicted, it wasn't for shooting her, right? It was for... like, I don't know the exact details of it. I really don't. I haven't been embedded in it. But I know that he was indicted for, you know, I think the way he handled it, like putting fear in the community or something, that he was like, you know, putting people at risk. You know, the whole thing, you know what I mean? Like the way he handled the situation at the door, and then they, you know, allegedly they. There was people that said that they never acknowledged that they were the cops, that they were the police, that they were there when they were pounding on the door. And then they executed. They just went through the door and entered the apartment. And then the guy, her boyfriend, had a gun and was, you know, pointing a gun at him and fired a shot. And then they shot her, and they shot. They did not kill him. They killed her. So the whole thing was crazy. The grand jury did not. Yeah, what is it, Mafia, that he got? He put everyone in danger.
Yeah, first degree wanton endangerment was the charge.
Well, I just honestly think that it's pathetic. They indicted a former cop on three charges of wanton endangerment in the first degree in the March 13 shooting that resulted in the death of the 26-year-old Breonna Taylor. The guy was fired by the department in June with a termination letter saying he wantonly and blindly shot 10 times into the apartment. He's accused of endangering lives in a neighboring unit after firing the rounds. So in other words, they said that he shot so many times that all the other neighbors were in jeopardy. But they didn't get him for killing her. They didn't get the three of them for killing her. They all shot so many times they killed her. And then they got off. It's obvious they got off. And it's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing that they got off. It's so pathetic. And I understand the whole deal with their anger. Certainly the people in Louisville and certainly the family of Breonna Taylor. I know that the city awarded them $12 million, but that's not going to buy her back. She's not coming back from the dead. And so they're angry. People are very angry. And the fact that those cops are all getting off, it's just going to lead to all kinds of unrest and chaos. Mavi is telling me tonight there's two cops shot in Louisville already. And it's, you know, whatever it is, it's not even, you know, it's not even, the night's not even over. It's still, you know, it's not even what I would deem late night. It's just, you know, nighttime, whatever. And it's chaos on the streets. Now, they had protests in New York today as well. I saw a roving pack of protesters marching around Manhattan. And it's happening here in New York City as well, because they're just all fired up about the situation with the cops, I think, everywhere, not just Louisville. It's just cops everywhere. And then it's, you know, certainly bled into the, oh, hero with a three ball from the top of the key, like off a screen, like a 25 footer, just clean. He knocked it down like a bullet. 8 minutes left. It's a 4-point Heat lead. And then Tatum misses the three. So I can understand it's bled into sports for sure. And all of the athletes are talking about it. And, you know, I've seen a lot about it from, you know, the Lakers and NFL players and, you know, even the head of the this Roberts lady that runs the Players Association in the NBA. You know, everywhere I turn, there's somebody saying something about it. It's just crazy what's happening. And then you start wondering if, obviously, they've already protested and boycotted sports. Remember, they shut down the NBA over it, and they didn't play. And then the NHL, didn't they follow suit, and they shut it down for a day or two? At first, they played, remember? And then they stopped, and then they started again, right? So, Mavia, do you think they're going to actually do it again? Do you think they'll boycott again? Do you think they'll play the NFL games this Sunday? Do you think they'll play? Do you think the Lakers and Nuggets will play tomorrow night?
I think you have a much better chance of the NFL, and I think that's more highly likely. They're going to have issues with some of their players there because of being, you know, still early in the season, still regular season games. I know that it was the beginning of the playoffs when all the NBA players shut down, but being in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, I don't know, they might, because they did before, and, you know, LeBron is up next, you know, tomorrow, and he is a very vocal advocate of social justice and things like that. So maybe you might have it tomorrow, but I think it's definitely more likely in the NFL, maybe even baseball, but that's going to be tough with the season so close to being over. I think the NFL is the most likely, NBA second, then MLB and NHL will follow suit of anyone else late in the game here.
All right, so anyway, one of the other, it's a 6-point lead now for the Heat with 6:41 left. Here is a story that I'm just actually about to fall over when I read it. The Lakers have presented a case to the NBA that LeBron James is not getting enough foul calls and not getting enough free throws. Through three games, he's attempted only 10 free throws. In the loss, he had only 2 free throws after a flagrant by Jamal Murray in the face. He's attempted a career low 5.7 free throws per game during the regular season, but that's still twice his average for this series, despite playing more minutes. Over the first 10 games of the playoffs, he averaged 7.6 free throw attempts per game, closer to his career regular season 8 per game and postseason 9 averages. He hasn't stopped attacking the basket in the series. He's attempted 8 shots per game in the restricted area compared to 7.8 during the regular season. Frank Vogel said, "We're dealing with the fouls through the proper channels with the league. I think he's gone to the basket very aggressively, and I'll just leave it at that." Denver has the right to complain as well. The Lakers attempted 9 more free throws in game 1. And then the Lakers' late comeback in game 3 was keyed by very physical defense. Rondo on a number of steals out of the defense. Officiating is come into question now. I have said on this show that I think that the Lakers cry on every single whistle. I mean, and I have no bones in this. I don't care who wins. I legitimately think that they cry after every single whistle. And it's not crying because they're right or wrong. It's just that they're constantly working the refs. I mean, they work the refs like they are Jimmy and the refs. They are sleeping in their pants. I mean, they are so far in their pockets, it's not even funny. I mean, I don't even know if they have whistles anymore. The Lakers have stolen them. They've pickpocketed the whistles. I think LeBron works the refs more than any coach. The Lakers don't have any coach that complains to the refs like LeBron does. LeBron has literally, he has negotiations with the refs at every whistle, every timeout, every stoppage, every free throw for the Nuggets. He's standing over there talking to the refs. And I mean, he's not talking about war and peace. He's talking about the calls, and he's talking about that their calls are wrong and that the Denver's getting all these calls. And I'm sorry, Mafia. I just do not see it that way. I have seen it the exact opposite. I think the Lakers get the calls. I think the Lakers get the calls. And I think, I mean, Denver, in my opinion, has to work so hard to beat the Lakers. I mean, it's like this gargantuan effort to beat them. Legitimately, like, they were down 20 in the fourth quarter, and they had to work. The Lakers got it down to 3 in about 5 minutes. And I mean, they couldn't get rid of them. They couldn't bury them. They couldn't finish them. They couldn't step on their throat. They couldn't do anything because the Lakers are so tough and they're so good and so fast and so defensive and so long, and they can run in transition and get buckets. Like, no one can stop him, James, when he goes to the bucket. When he goes to the 10, forget it. It's a freight train. He's automatic. It's the easiest layup in the league. And then Davis, they can't stop him either, inside, outside, anywhere. It does not matter. Baseline, wing, 3, top of the key, elbow, paint, restricted. It does not matter where he is. He can't be stopped. So I think Denver has to work twice as hard to get good shots. I mean, they really got to move around and set screens and come off screens and pick and roll. And they got to cut and slice like they're at the deli. They can't just stand around and do whatever. The Lakers don't stand around either. They run up and down and transition, and they get their looks. I got to tell you, Denver has to work twice as hard for shots. And I think the Lakers get the calls. So you tell me, Mafia, am I tripping?
No, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, when you're a superstar like LeBron or AD, you're also going to get the calls. And I mean, it's also depending on style too, because even though he's a big guy, you know, Jokic doesn't like to contact the Joker. He likes to, you know, make moves. He likes the hook. He likes the one, you know, footed leaner. Murray's a much more of a jump shooter. He'll drive. He'll do things, but it's not like that's, you know, the main part of his game. He drains threes on you from 40 feet. He does all these things. So when you're a team like the Lakers, who rely more on you driving to the basket, getting in there and getting the contact like AD and like LeBron do, you're naturally going to get more foul calls. But of course, like you said, they don't think there's ever enough foul calls for them because they're constantly riding the refs and winning every single call, which everyone in the NBA does now, but they do at a much higher level. It seems like in a much whinier level.
I mean, I just think they get all the calls. Now, all of a sudden here, it's a 6-point lead with Dragic at the line. He's going to make it 8. He doesn't miss free throws late in games. So he really doesn't. If he misses one, that's a story because he just sticks them all. And he drove on Brown and got a block, and they're going to go up 8. And there's only 5 minutes left in this game. And the more I watch this game, the more I'm convinced it's over. They're going to win this game. I'll be stunned if they blow this. Because the Celtics defense is so bad, It's so bad tonight. It's so amazing to me. It really is that the other night, it's so amazing to me that the other night in game three, they played so good defensively for 48 minutes at both ends of the floor. They were all over it. But, you know, in the half court, they had great ball movement, broke the zone and scored. And then in this game, at the other end of the floor, they stopped everything and they were in their face for the length of the court. They were like, it was almost like a full court press the way they were playing D and getting their hands on balls and stripping balls and getting steals and turnovers. And I just think that tonight in this game, they just look like they have revisited games one and two all over again when they get their ass beat. I mean, and in both of those games, they blew a lead. So, and not only did they blow a lead, but then, you know, the Heat whacked them in the fourth, right? So they were getting their ass beat in both those games, and Miami came back and kicked their ass. And Boston, to me, has only played good defense in one game. It was game three. And tonight, I think their defense has been a joke. I mean, I told you before, Miami wasn't even shooting the ball well, and they still were winning the game at the half. They were shooting 37%. They were still winning the game. When you shoot 37%, you shouldn't be winning. You got to shoot at least 40% in the NBA, in my opinion. This is simple. They're winning the game because they weren't shooting well, but they're winning the game because Boston's defense is so bad. They didn't play defense all night. It's that simple. I'll be talking about this on Coast to Coast tomorrow, too. No defense. They didn't stop anything. You gotta love it. Get on the bench. Saturday night, this Saturday, the 26th, you gotta get the Showtime pay-per-view stacked double fight cards, Charlo doubleheader, one night, one price, $74.99. So basically $75, you get two stacked cards and five title fights. It's the Charlo brothers going at it. Jermell and Jermall. You got the WBC super welterweight champ, Jermell Charlo, taking on WBA and IBF 154-pound champ Jason Rosario to unify the division and settle the score. Who's the best in the world at 154? They'll own every belt after this one. And then undefeated WBC middleweight champ Jermall Charlo, who's 30-0 with six straight title defenses and four knockouts in those six fights, taking on the dangerous Ukraine, Sergey Dariushenko. It's going to be two incredible fights, two incredible cards. You got five title fights. The first pay-per-view card is going to start at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. After the first three fights, there's a 30-minute intermission. Then the second card starts up. And that features Jermell against Rosario. The first three fights has Jermall against Dariushenko. So it's just unbelievable. And then after that, you got 118, 122-pound fighters, all kinds of champs. Figueroa and Casimiro are both champs. They're fighting for belts, their belts. You got Neary, a number one contender, two number two contenders, Roman and Payano. Great fights. Go to Showtime.com, Showtime app, or call your cable operator to order the fights. The Charlo doubleheader this Saturday on Showtime pay-per-view. So the Heat were up 8. Now they're up 3 with 3 minutes to go. It's unbelievable to me that they can't find a way to tie it or get the lead. They just can't stop them, and they can't get it done. I think their defense has been porous, and on top of that, they're missing free throws. So I saw a smart back end of the two after rebound. You got to hit those.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.